If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. January 15th. Payday. Got to get that check.
Get that chicken.
Where's it at?
Don't know.
Right, go find it.
I'll get on it.
Will you?
I will.
Will you?
Yeah, give me about 30 minutes.
Take care of that, bro.
That was very disheartening when I walked into the mailroom and saw an empty mailbox. That was a very, very sad moment this morning. It will not be a sad moment when we see Laura Sanko from the UFC in her return to the Border Patrol studio, where she has been a regular guest many times as she has climbed the ranks of the UFC. She travels quite a bit and is always working on the big fight cards. And thankfully, she will be able to come out and join us today to talk a little bit about the big Conor McGregor Cowboy Cerrone fight coming up on Saturday night. And so always good to talk to Laura Sanko. We haven't seen her in a while, and so it'll be very nice to see her in studio coming up in a few minutes. And so she's going to stop by. Gary Lezak.
He's not. We're having Jeff Penner on.
Jeff Penner. So he's still in this at this conference in Boston. How long is this thing going to last?
He's back on Thursday.
Because he seemed...
Damn it.
Jeff
Penner today.
His head was in the clouds yesterday. He seemed like he was not a part of the show.
Yeah.
He didn't want to answer the phone.
All, right?
Yeah. He thought we were robocalls?
He didn't want to answer the phone.
Between 7:50 and 8 every day.
And then when he was on the show, it was like he was there and he wasn't. And so maybe we'll have a more committed forecast from Jeff Penner. As once again, every day we'll take a look at what it's going to be on Sunday at an Arrowhead Stadium. So Jeff Harold Penner will join us.
I think there's a cold front coming in tonight.
7:50. And again, cold don't bother me, okay? The cold never bothered me anyway. I'm like frozen. It's fine. You know that. It's just I don't want any ice or snow driving to the game. And Gary said this week it was going to be warm enough to melt everything. It's melted. And then some rain will wash it away. And then if it gets cold after that, good. Fine. It can be cold, whatever. Just let's not have any rain. Let's not have any sleet. Let's not have any snow. Let's not have any ice. So we can have safe travels for everyone to Arrowhead Stadium, and also a safe travel home, hopefully, as everyone will want to stay at Arrowhead afterwards. I hope to see, I don't even like saying it because I get chills thinking about it. Hopefully we will get to see the Lamar Hunt Trophy given to Clark Hunt.
I deeply apologize to the Clarks.
And to see Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and everyone celebrating, that's what we want to see. And so we don't want any BS weather raining on our celebration. And then I'm sure that people will be then meeting up in the parking lot afterwards. I received confirmation that my best friend Caesar is making the trip in. He told me this is a very ominous text that I got from Caesar, who, of course, is, he's been in the Army since we got out of high school, and we old. Oh, we're old. Let me tell you that right now.
So going on 30 years?
Sure. Absolutely. And he did two tours in Iraq. He was in Bosnia. And did one long tour in Northeast, off of Van Brunt, and so that was
get a couple Purple Hearts doing
right,
that.
Right, all of them. He's been through all of it, and he said he texted me just a picture like a beer and a victory cigar. And I mean, he's having that. He had it all laid out there. Some good stuff. And so he said,
"Oh, that's a cigar." Oh.
Yeah. 15 more minutes.
Hello.
Caesar loves the cigars. Victory cigars. He's big on that. He
showed
me
Burrow.
The victory cigar and a nice beer he was having. And this was in getting ready to go into the fourth quarter of the game on Sunday. He said, 15 more minutes, and I will see you the next two games.
Ooh.
I said, what?
Ooh.
What did you just say?
These are coming down to Miami.
And so I just thought about that. I said, you know, man, I remember when his dad, Al Milan, would take us. I remember he sat with his dad, and I had a single ticket by myself when we went to the playoff game between the Chiefs and the Steelers when Joe Montana led them from the come from behind overtime victory. And we parked in the Denny's parking lot, you know?
Yeah.
And so then we walked over.
Right by the Drury Inn.
And I remember, we went our own way. And I remember when we got back, we kind of got back to his dad's truck at the same time. We just ran and kind of hugged and jumped up and down because they just won a playoff game and the way they did, you know? And it was, right? It was great. And so, like, we always talk about that. And then we were together watching the game the next week at Anthony Gialdi's house, watching the Chiefs beat the Oilers. We went to the Colts game together too, after the 95 season, and he had a single ticket, I had a single ticket.
Is that when you were camping out for tickets?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then that was
nice and warm.
Oh, that was but that was terrible, obviously, meeting back at the car. But we've always talked about, you know, man, what's going to be like when they, because that was a real possibility back then. When they do get to the Super Bowl, boy, it's just going to be. And so I've shared so many moments with him throughout growing up, going to the games.
I was very
tickled that he's going to be there. So if they do win this thing,
how you doing?
Last night it was almost too much. My excitement is I can't hardly handle myself right now. I'm being honest with you. It's a lot. It's too much. I've tried to reel things in and not think about it so much, but I can't.
No, I want today. Wednesday.
You know,
what kind of size?
It's I just can't think really about anything else. It's consuming me. And so now knowing, I mean, that's just a little extra thing. Now knowing if they do win, out in the parking lot, we're gonna go meet at the car. I think we'll meet at the Lamar Hunt statue and run and
jump into each other's arms.
Yeah,
well, I record it in slow motion.
Right, but I mean, a hug we've been waiting, an embrace we've been waiting to have for
your entire life,
3 decades, really. Yeah, so, yeah.
It'll
I mean,
be
really,
party time once that happens.
Really, I mean, I remember he was over at my house when the Chiefs lost to the Jets when John Makovic was the coach in the wild card game.
Yeah.
And we were all pissed off then.
Yeah.
We're, you know, and Caesar, this team didn't even deserve to be in the playoffs. And just, you know, throwing punches in the air, all pissed. You know, and so, I can't believe that. And that was 86. So that is, you know, that's over.
Yeah, bro, that's been over 30 years. Yeah.
That's 34 years, man. I watched a playoff with that kid 34 years ago. And so I was just, oh, he's going to make it, you know, because you never know. And he's got two beautiful girls now and a family, and he's in the Army, and he's an attorney. And so just to find out that he was going to be able to be there on Sunday, I was just, boy, that just sealed it. Like, okay.
Telling you, all the stars are lining up.
Come on!
Yeah.
And then, I'm not going to say anything else. I'm not going to talk about the next step. But I have said I've made this determination. If they win, I'll stay there until they kick me out of Arrowhead. You know, because I'm gonna be with the boys, and then you know, get to my car. I'm sure see people in the parking lot, and then I'm going home. and I'm going home because then I want to see the girls because they'll be flipping out, you know, go home. And then a lot of people, hey, you know, where we're going to meet at afterwards? I said, I'm going home. Because ever since I was a little kid, whenever I've watched the coverage after the championship games and all this coverage, it's always been my dream since I was a little kid. So I went to my first Chiefs game to see everyone talking about the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl, to see it and to see, hear everyone talking about it, to make it real. And so I'm gonna go home, gather everyone around, plop my big butt in my chair, and just watch all the coverage. I'll probably stay up and watch the game again if everything goes well, and just take it all in, and then be refreshed and ready for what I hope will be the most wonderful show that we ever do this coming Monday.
A couple weeks,
right? I mean, up to this point. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm just playing everything out, and I'm so excited. I'm so excited for the city. I'm so excited for everyone. I just hope it. I mean, it's right there. There's never been a better opportunity. Everything's there, and I feel great about their chances. I feel great about everything. Almost too good. You know. Yeah. I'm just. I cannot tell you. And just to see everyone so excited. And last night we had basketball practice for St. Gabe's, and we got the email that they moved, they canceled the games for Sunday, which is, of course, that's the right move, but they still had to do it.
Yep.
And they moved, and everyone agreed to play some Monday night basketball the following week. Everyone on the same page. No one's resisting that. And so, you know, don't have to deal with that or anything. It's just... Everything's lining up, and I just can't wait. And the coverage, hopefully we're going to provide you with the best coverage and everything you want to hear. We'll have people out there today as the Chiefs get back to work and talking to the media. We're going to be out there tomorrow doing some interviews with some various players that we'll be able to play for you on Friday. I'm just trying to I'm looking ahead and so excited, but trying not to waste the moment that we're in and just really,
yeah,
really embrace everything and live in the moment, because it's your inclination to hurry up and get here Sunday, hurry up and get here Sunday. But also, I want to bask in this. Like, yeah, the Chiefs are hosting the AFC Championship again. The Chiefs had that historic comeback on Sunday. This is all happening. Because I did a terrible job of that in 2014 with the Royals. It just all happened too fast. I didn't embrace it. And it was, you know, and I did a much better job in 2015 of really enjoying the ride. And last year, it was just, you know, it was crazy, man. It was crazy. And I think this year I'm able to handle this better. But last night was just a disaster. I got home and that's all I could think about. I watched a little bit more of the game between the Chiefs and the Texans. Got me all fired up. Watched episode 2 of The Outsider. I had some people texting or tweeting me, what was the show that I recommended? It's The Outsider on HBO. And last night, it absolutely did give me nightmares.
Yikes.
Absolutely. It gave me horrible nightmares. But I can't wait for episode 3. So
you didn't watch the Missouri-Mississippi State game?
That also gave me horrible nightmares. I checked in on it, and there was no reason to watch it.
Right.
It was a horrible, horrible effort. Terrible. Terrible basketball game. They got blown out at Mississippi State. So, no, I was watching The Outsider on it, and it gave me I had a nightmare about it. And I woke up like at 3 a.m., couldn't go back to sleep. Just, all right, let's go. So I don't know. Is that a ringing endorsement there?
For some people, it is.
For me,
yeah. For Jake, it
I'm
is.
In. It's. I'm in.
Oh, and like I got home.
For me, I want to get my blankie.
And Susan said, "I've been thinking about that show all day." Because we watched episode 1 the day. I said, "So have I. Let's go watch." And we were both just freaked out. You know. I was like, you know, did you lock the front door?
Ha!
Go check that. Are we good?
Do we have an alarm system set up?
I mean, are we good? So.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you are enjoying the ride and embracing the moment. It's awesome that Caesar's going to be here. I got a text message from one of my oldest friends, a guy named Ben Bartley, who I went to St. Peter's Cathedral with.
Oh, Ben Bartley.
Oh, Ben Bartley. I've been friends with him since 1989, and he moved away when we were sophomores in high school and hasn't been back living in Kansas City since.
Where'd he go?
Well, first went to Tucson. His dad was the administrator of the blind school right off by Big 11 Lake in KCK. They moved to Tucson, Arizona.
That's when you lived on the lake?
That was when I lived on the lake, Big 11 Lake. He's lived in Tucson, Arizona. He's lived in Japan. He worked for a professional baseball team in Japan for a long time. He's been living in Louisville for the last 10 years or more. And he just texted me yesterday and said, I'm made an impulse decision, bought tickets online, and I'm coming to town this weekend. So I think there's a lot of Chiefs fans who are like Caesar, like my friend Ben, who live elsewhere, who are coming to town.
Come home.
To be a part of this.
And one of the reasons why I have calm nerves this week, I'm enjoying again a delicious CBD American Shaman sparkling coconut water with grapefruit with 10 milligrams of nano hemp oil.
Sounds delicious.
And so Jake will tell you the nerves have been smoothed over because of the nano hemp oil. So thanks to my friends at CBD American Shaman who provided this for me because they know that I could be a nervous wreck before big games, and they did not want that. I had a chance to see Vince from CBD American Shaman, and of course Jamie and Donna sent over some couple of cases. That you've enjoyed this.
I haven't had that flavor yet. I've had the watermelon, but I have not had
there's
the
a cold one in there for you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
If you want to even things out,
absolutely. So,
Jake, why can I get you to try some nano hemp oil during the show, please? So we could all be nice and relaxed.
Grab me. I'll grab one. I'll grab one. I'll have a little sip.
Yes.
Nano.
Thank you. Well, it's all about the nano hemp oil. Right. I told you that several times and you won't listen, but
I'm listening today.
Thank you.
For once.
Laura Sanko, Gary Lezak, Nick Leckie will join us on the phone. Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com, and then Duron Cherry. Duron Cherry came on the show last week, and the Chiefs won. And so Duron Cherry, we asked him, please come back on the show this week so they will win again. So we're not screwing with anything. We're not trying to get any bad juju around here. And so thank you to Duron Cherry for agreeing to come back on the show to keep the good vibes going. Did everyone feel good?
Yeah, I feel great.
Jake?
I feel great. Even Jeff Chedia couldn't talk me out of feeling good.
I'm good. I'm good. I'm better.
You're doing awesome, aren't you?
I am.
Look at you.
I'm great.
All right. Let's have a good show.
Laura's here.
One more day and another way to get to Sunday. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I want to mention that you can go celebrate KC Restaurant Week at Brick and Mortar in Waldo. They have a wonderful $35 three-course dinner option. Wonderful first-course options like a house salad, the salmon chowder. Nate, a classic Caesar, second course, several options, including Jake, the Spanish octopus.
Yeah,
that sounds
I'll
like something that you might like.
I've had octopus before. Octopi.
That's right. Thai curry vegetables, delicious Jidori chicken. Third courses like flourless chocolate cake or the dessert of the day. They also have a $15 lunch option all week until Sunday for restaurant week. That you can go in there and enjoy maybe some salmon chowder. And how about the wild mushroom flatbread or chicken and waffles? Plus, if you order Restaurant Week special dinners, you receive a $10 gift card to use prior to the end of February at a future visit at Brick and Mortar in Waldo. That's Brick and Mortar in Waldo, just off of 75th for KC Restaurant Week. Right now, very happy to be joined by Laura Sanko, a very good friend of the show. Of course, you see her everywhere for UFC now, and Laura, it's so glad I'm so glad to see you in here. Thanks for stopping by, and how have you been?
I've been great, man. The drive over here, I was reminiscing along with you, and you're reminiscing about the Chiefs.
You love the
Chiefs.
Good to
be. I do love the Chiefs. I've lived here most. I think I moved here when I was about six, so this is new territory for me to be able to enjoy the Chiefs.
Let me tell you something else that that you will love that I'm excited about. If the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl, so I'll do the show at on Radio Row down at the Super Bowl the whole week, right?
Yep.
And so they have the Super Bowl Music Festival that Friday night down in Miami. Guns N' Roses.
Oh, what? I, you know, when they came here,
right,
I went.
Yeah, that's right.
I was second row.
You loved it.
Oh, my gosh.
That's right.
I crab walked all over the place. It was great.
Boy,
it
I can't
great.
Wait. It's going to be wonderful. So, and then, of course, J-Lo and Shakira at halftime.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
You want a drink?
yeah.
Thank you.
That.
Hello.
But
nano hemp, calm me down.
See the nano hemp. I can get you a cold one if you'd like that. Thank you,
that,
the CBD
actually.
American Shaman. And so you have, I mean, you have really exploded on the scene in UFC from when you first started, and now you're everywhere. Tell us about your career now and how well it's been going, and how, I mean, everything that you're doing. You just got to be, and that's living a dream, right?
Well, I think, thank you for saying that, first of all. Sometimes it takes someone kind of pointing that out to me to really appreciate it. You know, like anything, you get in a track, and I'm a person who likes to continue to just do more and do better. So sometimes I'm continually looking to the next thing instead of kind of looking back sometimes and appreciating, you know, maybe what I have been able to accomplished. So thank you for saying that. But
there
yeah,
we go. There's your nano hemp oil right now. And we treat our guests
thank
like
you
VIPs.
Very here. Much, Nate.
Now, run down everything that you do now.
Oh gosh,
yeah.
Okay,
right.
So I still do what I did for Invicta. I now commentate for Invicta, which is part of UFC Fight Pass. I do my backstage reporting for ESPN. I do a lot of different roles for the Contender Series, which is a UFC show. And then I also now do something called Quick Hits with Laura Sanko.
Right.
Yeah.
On the UFC social media account. So I go live on the UFC Instagram and Facebook pages throughout the pay-per-views. And it's super cool because you can be watching the fights. And then if you see the UFC's account going live on Instagram or Facebook, you know I'm doing something cool. I'm talking with someone cool. Like I'll go to Dana's green room and sit with him and watch a fight. And we just kind of chat. And you can see, I've always kind of been curious, like, what's it like when Dana watches a fight? Does he jump up out of his chair? And the answer is yes. Yes, he sure does.
Now, Jake does something. It's not broadcast anywhere. He does quick hits with Jake Gutierrez.
Yeah.
Usually in his basement.
Yes.
Alone. But that's not...
He does not get out of his chair, right. though. He does not jump up out of his chair once that happens.
Do we have a sponsor for that yet?
Right. No, great. Not yet. Waiting for Missouri.
So, right.
What?
Do you... I think when we first started having you on, you were doing mostly reporting.
Yeah.
How do you like the commentating? How do you like it compared to the reporting? And which do you find maybe that you're more natural at? Which do you enjoy getting the chance to do both?
I love the chance to do both. The play-by-play side of commentating, I'm still working hard at getting good at. I would say I'm good. I wouldn't say I'm great yet. And it's a very, as you well know, it's a really different skill set. I think color commentary, which I'm hopefully going to start doing this year as well, is a little bit more of a natural fit for me, where I can just kind of talk about the fight and what's happening and about the fighters. The play-by-play, you almost have to have the radio presence where you're smooth with your, you know, transitions and cutting to commercials. And that's a skill set that I only get reps when I do it. So I have to be, I have to work hard to sound good at that one. The other ones are a lot more natural. I love the commentary. That's honestly my goal is a little bit more in that direction. But the reporting is always going to be probably my favorite thing because, especially Contender Series, man, I love Contender Series. When you can talk to a fighter in what is the biggest moment of their life when they've just gotten a UFC contract, it's crazy. It's like, it gives me chills. But with this social media role, it's fun. And for all these big fights, I get to sit octagon side. So, you know, next weekend I'll be sitting octagon side when Connor and Cowboy go at it.
Wow.
And so that will give us something to, because we're trying to get to Sunday. And so that'll be something to help us get through Saturday night, a great fight between Conor McGregor and Cowboy Cerrone. So tell us everything you'll be doing for this fight.
So for this fight, I will be heading out there on Friday, and then it's pretty easy compared to my reporting role where I'm kind of doing things throughout fight week. It's fight night, and then like I said, anytime you see the Facebook or Instagram live pop up, I'm interviewing fighters, I'm doing a little pre-show with Chael Sonnen. Talking with Dana, hanging out with Dana, and at the end of the night I'll be talking to either Connor or Cowboy, and we'll see. We will see.
So let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the fight. Tim Elliott is also going to be on the card. There's some other good fights to talk about, but the main event, obviously, Conor McGregor's return to the octagon against Cowboy Cerrone. We will take a break. More with Laura Sanko in studio after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Okay, before we get into the main event, there are some other fights I wanted to ask you about for UFC 246. Also, be sure to ask everyone if they're rooting for the Chiefs. Just throw that out there and see what they say.
Dana was last weekend.
What's that?
Dana was last weekend.
Was he really?
He texted me. So right. We're finally rooting for the same team. Put a ton of money on the Chiefs.
Yeah. Now he's got Jake in there on him. All right. Okay, so a couple of fights I want to ask you about. One fighter that I've enjoyed watching quite a bit, and I'm curious to get your opinion on, is Macy Barber. She is looked upon by a lot of people as the next big thing as far as female fighters in the UFC. Every time I've watched her, she's been dominant, and she seems like she's a can't miss as far as being a star. What do you think of her and the fight that she will have on the preliminary card on ESPN?
I think that she has a super high ceiling in this sport. I mean, she's so young. She's only 21 years old. And I don't know if you know the story, but she's got this timer in her phone where it's a countdown that she has to make in order to set the record as the youngest UFC champion in history. She's going to try to beat John Jones' record. So literally in her phone, she'll whip it out and show you, I've got this many years, this many months, this many minutes before I've got to become a champion and beat that record. So she's a very driven young lady, and you can see that in her fights. She's aggressive. She comes forward. She's super, super strong for the weight class, even though she's actually, I would say, slightly undersized for flyweight, but her aggression more than makes up for it.
She's super entertaining to watch.
She's super entertaining to watch. She says her mind on the microphone, which is always fun. She's got a tough test, though. I mean, when you look at Roxanne Modafferi, whether you're looking at a photo of her or watching her fight, you're kind of like, really? This is a top. But listen,
she's had a million fights.
She has had a million fights, and with that million fights comes the type of experience that you just can't teach. So honestly, I this is going to be a tough, tough fight for Macy because Roxanne is good. Roxanne's tough.
It's like a good, like kind of a gatekeeper where she gets past her, then you know that she's evolved and maybe she's ready to take that next step.
Yes, absolutely.
And so that's someone to watch. Now, obviously, the local fans of MMA will want to see Tim Elliott as he's going to be fighting also on the preliminary card on ESPN. So for people that aren't familiar with Tim Elliott and that haven't had a chance to watch him, he's been one of the best fighters to come out of this area ever. And tell us about what you like about him and his fight coming up on Saturday.
You're never going to watch a boring Tim Elliott fight. I mean, he is balls to the wall from bell to bell.
There we go. Another term that Jake has really wrapped his arms around. So thank you for saying that.
Jamie Presley and Joe Dirt. Ball, got a hemi? Balls to the wall.
That's exactly
balls
right.
Balls to the wall.
That's what
balls
now.
Well, that's Tim. That's
how you know it's a good fight.
He's nonstop, go, 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 moving all the time, full of action, really fun striker, but grappling, you know, tends to be where he really shines. He had a little bit of a tough outing last time, but the thing with Tim is he's kind of a little bit like Cowboy. He doesn't let losses, you know, affect him too much. He comes out there even harder this time, and he's got a tough test too. And Askar Askarov, who has a fun name to say,
say that again, please.
Askar Askarov.
Right.
That's just a funny name.
Askar Askarov.
Why does that make me laugh so much?
I picture
the scene when they're like doing his birth certificate in the hospital and like his mom maybe just sneezed or something.
Sounds like he would be an associate of Boris Badenov and Natasha Nogudnik from
go Askarov. Askarov.
Hey buddy, it's my friend Askar Askarov over here.
So they're really pretty similar. Wild strikers, excellent grapplers, and that's gonna be a super fun fight for sure.
Okay, so getting into the main card, Holly Holm is always one of the best fighters to watch. She's always in entertaining fights. And Raquel Pennington, what about this fight?
It's the rematch, first of all, but it was Holly's first fight in the UFC and Raquel's, I think, third or fourth. So it's been several years, a lot of fights for both of them. Holly's in a tough spot. You know, she's had a little bit of a tough run the last couple of years. That being said, within that, she has had some really shining moments. So Raquel's in for it. The interesting thing I think about this matchup is, you know, everybody thinks of Holly Holm as this incredible boxer because that's the world that she came from, and she had, you know, a laundry list of boxing titles. But in this fight, I would actually give the pure boxing edge to Raquel. Holly, in MMA, Holly's much more of an outside kickboxer. She likes to keep the distance and then just kind of dart in and out. Raquel's a little bit more in your face. She likes to stay in the pocket and throw heavy punches. She's a really physical fighter. And although Holly is the bigger physical person, the physicality that Raquel Pennington brings in a fight should make it really a very interesting matchup. For Holly's sake, I would like to see her have a really, really, just a really good performance. I don't have a dog in this, you know, in this race, so to speak. But
so while we're talking about the ladies, we need to ask about our friend Megan Anderson, yeah, who has a fight coming up also, because Jake said, ask her about Megan. And so she's still has a chance, and it's been fun to see her get more exposure and get more attention, and she does a nice job of handling the media as well. And so, I mean, if she can just string some wins together, she's got everything that they're looking for.
Absolutely.
To be able to put her on a fight poster and sell tickets and get people to watch. She's got everything. She just needs to you know, string together some wins, yep, right? And so coming up, she's in a really important, I think, part, maybe a crossroads in her career where she starts to win. And then she still can accomplish everything, even though she's had some disappointing losses, like the loss to Holly Holm. It's still all right there in front of her, right?
Absolutely. I mean, she's at a point, she's still so young in her career. I mean, I think almost unfortunately for her, she was thrust into the spotlight with the talk of, oh, you're going to fight Chris Cyborg, really, really, really early in her UFC career. Frankly, early in her MMA career. So in some ways, she hasn't had the opportunity to grow outside of the spotlight, away, you know, away from all of that, the way that a lot of other fighters had. And she's done a really good job, I think, of handling it. And like you said, she's got a great fight ahead of her. I think it's a really, really strong matchup for her. I think she's going to do really well in this fight. And as you say, the perfect package in terms of what the UFC is looking for in a potential star.
And so she fights UFC Fight Night coming up on February 29th in Norfolk, Virginia. And that's going to be on ESPN Plus. And so if you're wondering when Megan will fight again, she'll be fighting then. And so we've got about a month and a half before that. But a really big fight for her and a chance for her to get back in the spotlight again with another win, right?
Yep, absolutely.
All right. And James Krause?
Oh, man, heck of a year he
right?
had. Yeah. Jeez.
Right? We got to talk about James.
We have to. I mean, unbelievable year for James.
That last fight was fantastic down in Brazil. I love that so much.
Dude, I was there.
He boxed the hell out of that
he
guy.
He did. I was there for that one, and he was running away with that fight, but then to get another knockout, which, I mean, I've been following James's career since he was little, right? And he's never been knocking people out with his hands. Just in the last, it's like he finally got his man body.
Well, he started fighting up a weight class, didn't he?
Yeah.
He moved up. He got his man body.
Yeah. It's like, I found my man body.
Nate's like, when
someday,
do I get mine?
Yeah, someday.
Keep waiting.
Keep dreaming.
It'll happen. But
now he's knocking fools out.
But
great.
He did say that he told us that he really felt like going up in weight made it a lot easier for him to carry some, to actually keep some power when he went into fights.
Yeah, and he's maintaining it between camps too. I mean, he just, it got to a point that cut to 55 was just stupid. It was hard to watch.
Right.
Yeah. Really hard to watch. And now he's kind of like framing out at 170, and it's doing him wonders.
A lot of great stuff for some local fighters coming up. We will take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Okay, before we move on to talking about the main event, any other fights on the main card? I asked you about Holly Holm. Anything else that maybe stands out to you that could be a candidate for fight of the night? You know, some people will tend to You know, go to fight watch parties, kind of mingle around, and then kind of settle in, you know, the co-main event and then the main event. But there's some big names. There's like some good fights on the main card. Anything that you like especially?
Some excellent fights on the main card. I think Maurice Green, Alexei Olenek is always, it's kind of a fun one, an intriguing one. Obviously, anytime the big guys go at it, you're looking for a potential for a knockout. But the fight that's honestly super exciting for me, and I think for a lot of people that follow the sport, it's not on the main card. It's Sadiq Youssef versus, I'm blanking on it right now. Gosh,
Andre.
God. Thank you, Andre Feely. Right. That is going to be a fantastic fight. Sadiq Youssef coming off the Contender Series. He's been knocking people out. He's just on an incredible run already in the UFC. I think he's 3-0 in the UFC at this point. Andre Feely, though, always brings it. Super, super tough test in that weight class. That fight to me is for sure going to be the biggest front runner for fight of the night.
So Conor McGregor.
Ooh.
Jake asked me if I watched his recent interview where he, Jay, give us some of the highlights and see what Laura has to say.
He was talking about how he hasn't had a drink for over 3 months, and he's gone to this camp. I forgot the word they used, not thirsty or something like that. It was pretty interesting, but he said building up to the Khabib fight that he was not that way. He said he was drinking during the camp. He said he was getting drunk and then fist fighting people.
He said he was drinking during fight week.
During
is what
fight
he said.
Week, right. Yeah.
And so there's two reactions to that. Number one, like, you know, I mean, like, what the hell? It's the biggest fight of your life. You know, why are you doing that? Why aren't you putting yourself in the best position to win? And then other people would say, well, he's just making excuses because he got his ass kicked. And so now it's convenient to say, I was drinking and I wasn't my best and now I am. What do you? But Conor McGregor's, you know, he's wild enough where I can believe it.
Right.
And I've known boxers that have been so wild and out of control that they've been drinking right up to the night before the fight and then got knocked out in the first round and cost themselves $9 million in a possible heavyweight championship fight. I think everyone knows what I'm talking about. But when you hear him say that, what's your reaction? What do you think?
I 1,000% believe it. I think, you know, we've all followed the storyline of Conor McGregor over the last couple of years, and it's been frustrating to watch as a fight fan because of, I mean, who he is, who he was, who he continues to be for the sport is so important. You know, the face of the sport. When you get on an airplane and you start talking about MMA, that he's the only name that people know.
He's
a household name in the general public. So I think someone who gets put in that position very quickly, all the temptations that come with it, I 100% believe that was happening. I don't think that was him offering up excuses, to be honest with you. One thing I'll say about Conor is I think he takes his losses pretty much right on the nose. He always goes to the press conference afterwards. He's always very honest about, you know, what happened. He's pretty good at assessing a fight right after it happens, frankly. And I will say this, too. Everyone has lost to Khabib. That's not, you know, that doesn't make him a crappy fighter. It also doesn't make him a crappy wrestler, a crappy grappler. I think you look at some of the moments in that fight, especially round three, Conor did some great work on the ground. There were a couple of takedowns that Khabib had to work way harder for than he has with other people, with other bigger people like Poirier. You know, I actually think that people are not giving Conor enough credit for his ground game.
So what about, there's a lot going on with him out of the octagon. Do you think he's going to be able? I mean, because there were some. People were wondering if he'd ever fight again. Mm-hmm. You know, do you think he's ever going to get? I mean, this fight is a big fight, but get back to the peak and get back to a championship.
That's hard to say because Cowboy. Everybody's really discounting Cowboy in this fight. Cowboy is a very, very, very live opponent in this fight, and I think depending on how long the fight goes, depending on a couple of other X factors. This is Cowboy's fight, in my opinion. It's Conor's early, it's Cowboy's later, and we can, you know, get into that or not. But I think that Conor is at a point where he is here because he loves MMA. And if you watch that entire interview, and I've talked to a lot of people that are there already for fight week, and the running consensus is, wow, Conor is completely different. And it's not just the words that are coming out of his mouth, it's his energy, his attitude, the way he's treating people, the way that he's doing his interviews. And when I watched that in ESPN interview, to
you
me,
you can see his demeanor.
It was so, to me, it was incredibly genuine. It was, you could tell just the way he was sitting, the way he was talking. It wasn't, his eyes weren't darting all around.
That's
he wasn't
say,
fidgety.
The eye contact was like his laser, like he was lasered in.
He was like, he was there to have
different.
A conversation with Ariel Helwani, and it felt very, very genuine. So I'm hopeful, man. I think he can make it back to the top.
We've got Laura Sanko in studio. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We've got Laura Sanko in studio. We've got Jeff Penner, Nick Leckie, Matt Derrick, and Daron Cherry all between now and 10 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.